If you recall, about 100 years ago, Charles Darwin placed a fossil next to another fossil and discovered that man was born of the apes. And so the theory of evolution was then proven to the satisfaction of all of science. And then, of course, in the 20s, Clarence Darrow made a great courtroom defense of a school teacher who had taught evolution. And he sort of made a monkey out of the offense who were trying to prove that the right to teach evolution was a detriment to education because, as far as the establishment was concerned, evolution was only a theory, and a pretty godforsaken theory at that. But then, after Darrow's defense and the right to teach evolution in school, it became commonplace for youngsters to come home to their parents and tell their parents what fuddy-duddies they were, not to know that man was descended from the apes. And probably you have had experience with your children and grandchildren who look at you perhaps as a bit old-fashioned, not to realize the great truth of evolution. Today, there is no scientist on earth who denies evolution. It is a great triumph in the eyes of the world for science to have made this miraculous discovery about the genealogy of man. And there's only one problem with the entire theory. It has nothing to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with spiritual man. It has nothing to do with divine man. It has nothing to do with immortal, eternal man. It has nothing to do with God. And so, as true it is as it is on the physical, mortal plane, it is only a truth within the dream. And it is necessary for those on the spiritual path not to be fooled, deceived, or alarmed, or influenced by the belief that it was necessary for God to first create an amoeba that would become a lizard, that ultimately would become an ape, that ultimately would become a man or woman. Moses saw it all and said it much better. He took evolving man and woman, gave them a name called Adam and Eve. And then he showed what's wrong with them. He showed that evolving man is blind to God, asleep to the spiritual universe, unaware of his own soul, unaware of his own spirit, unaware of his own divine life. And science so advanced that it knows nothing of this still tries to push upon us that great evolution of man in which man evolves from nothing to nothing. And if you look around today at evolving man, you'll see that maybe 500 million of these evolving creatures are on drugs. That's how far they have evolved. In our own country, at least 1 million, and in the world, at least 50 million young girls are on abortion. They have evolved to that degree. Crime has evolved. Disease has evolved. War has evolved. Inhumanity has evolved. All this because we have this wonderful evolving man. And the Christ teaching is to unself from the evolving man into Christhood. That's how far science has gone. Now, no man can evolve into Christ. Christ has been on earth longer than evolving man. Christ has been on earth before the world was. Christ has been on earth without a beginning. Evolving man is relatively young. He dates from about 2 million to 6 million years. And if he evolves another 6 million years, he'll just be Adam all over again. Maybe he'll get a real estate license, or he'll become a school teacher, or Eve will go into the kitchen with an apron, working with a microwave, but they'll still be Adam and Eve. And when they get a computer and become scientists, they're still Adam and Eve. They evolve until they die. Evolution does not take away death. It does not usher in the age of spiritual man. Matter can never evolve into spirit. It must be seen through. And so I bring this up to you today because many of our so-called modern inventions and advanced thought is quite backward in the eyes of the Spirit of God. What it leads to is something that is quite embarrassing. It leads to something that, in the words of Christ, are so completely upsetting to evolving man that evolving man is in peril of being annihilated from the face of the earth. Evolving man, the human race, the mortal race, has not found God. It is separated from source. It denies the presence of the eternal Christ. It denies Christ in you. It denies the immortality of your Christ life. So maybe we should have a class for all the scientists of the world who believe in evolution and give them an opportunity to at least debate evolution on a different level than the way religion puts it, spontaneous combustion of man. You see, there's a third option. There's not just spontaneous combustion, God created man in those words, and there's not just evolving man. There's a third, and that's eternal man, the Spirit of God, eternal, always one with the Father, always alive. And the Christ, which you are, has always been alive since before the beginning of this world. Now, every time you hear anything about evolution, you're hearing about someone who doesn't know who he or she is and doesn't know who you are. And so it's not our function to necessarily have a heated discussion or argument about it any more than we want to have a heated discussion or argument about other truths that we know. But we do want to maintain the inner knowledge that evolution is a world-mind invention in which forms are made visible, changing every century, every generation, whereas the self, the Christ, the Divine Son, is always that which the Divine Son has been before the world began, perfect as the Father, not evolving into new levels of imperfection or approaching perfection. Now, what happens to evolving man is something like this. And there shall be signals, signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. This is all about evolving man. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. When the powers of heaven are shaken, those are the powers of man's heaven, man's concept of heaven. The evolving man's belief in what heaven is will be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man, the unevolving self of you, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Find yourself. Find your higher self. Find yourself in the seventh day. And if we're really watching, we'll be there and won't have to look up. We'll be looking up. And lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, a fig tree, and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. World mind must be upheaved. We're doing it individually and then collectively. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. He's saying, stay out of mortality. Be prepared in your immortal self. The surfeiting is the excesses, the drunkenness. Can be all kinds of drunkenness. The drunkenness of emotion, the drunkenness of ambition, as well as the drunkenness of intoxication. And cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. He's saying, watch. Stand in the spirit. Be aware of identity. Don't fall into the duality of God, divine man, and evolving man. That's not watching. That's duality. That's, again, crucifying the Christ within. But look at all these evolving creatures and see their Christhood. That's standing in the secret place. See them for what they are, not what they think they are or are told they are. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. He's talking about the end of mortality on this earth. Eternal man is not mortal. Eternal man is not evolving. Evolving mortal man is what he's talking about. As a snare shall it come on all that dwell on the face of the whole earth. We're putting on the garment of immortality. Watch ye therefore and pray always. It isn't this kind of prayer, dear Father, do this, do that. Prayer is the awareness of truth. Divine truth. Prayer is the conscious knowledge that there is only God. God is not evolving. There's one self, the same yesterday and today, always perfect. That's prayer. And when you're not moved from that belief by your senses or your mind or your logic, you're in a state of spiritual integrity. You're in the truth that has dominion. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's Christ in you. Born of the marriage of soul and spirit, discovering that you are not the son of woman. You're not made of mortal flesh. You are not the child of woman. This is the voice of the Spirit of God called Jesus. This is Christ saying, you must learn to stand before the Son of Man in your Christhood. This is the renunciation of mortal birth in the acceptance of divine birth, divine life, undivided. There's only one birth. It was before the world was. It is a kind of birth that never had a beginning, and therefore never has an end. This is where we are told to stand now. And in the day time, he was teaching in the temples. And this is what he taught. And at night, he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. When he wasn't teaching, he was in oneness, receiving of the Father, living in conscious oneness with the eternal self, being self. He was not evolving, he was not becoming, he was being. And we must learn the secret of not becoming, but being. Being what the Father says we are. And that is another definition of praying. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. But that's where they heard what the Father had said through Christ, because they yet had not been able to receive through Christ. They were still personalizing. They still had a human teacher out there. They were not able to tune in directly and be taught by God. Now that's Luke. And it's the voice of Jesus speaking. It's the 21st chapter, and it's from verses 25 on to the end. And it demands a rereading every time we forget and believe that maybe I am an evolving creature. And maybe I have to worry about an end of the world. That's not what Christ says. Christ says, know who you are. Stand in the secret place. Be yourself. Stop evolving. Stop becoming. Know you are not that child of woman that is always going to reincarnate, come back in another womb, in another form, and try to become again. This is the flat statement of the Christ that the Darwinian theory has nothing to do with reality. But instead, says the Christ, stop looking at me. and thinking that I'm one of those evolving men out there. Start reaching into your soul, for your soul is the way you will stand against this world mind. Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Not a very scientific statement, is it? And so now you see there is a purpose for this form which you appear in. It's the place where you learn to transform. And in order to transform from the mortal sense of form, you must live within. And as you live within, finding the soul substance, which is the flesh of Christ, which is the bread of life, you live in your soul, which can eat only divine food. Your soul can't eat anything in this world that comes out of the earth. Your soul eats divine food from the tree of life. Not from nature, not from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not from a physical tree or a physical earth. Your soul must eat the flesh of Christ and drink the blood of Christ, which means your soul is tuned to Christ. As Christ is leading your soul to the seventh day of its own awareness, Christ is also feeding your soul. Christ is feeding your soul the will, the thought, the power, the grace of God. And this soul substance which flows from Christ to your soul is reached by you only when you remove yourself from the mortal sense of life, from the mortal perception of life, from the mortal senses, and rest within, above mind, in soul, so that your soul may be fed by the Father, through the Christ, through the Spirit, and your soul then breathes in spiritual substance that it may transform this form out here invisibly into the Word, the sacred Word, the divine Word made into spiritual flesh. So get the continuity of what you're trying to do, which makes you indestructible even in this world. We are feeding on the bread of life with our soul. And to do it, you build what is called a heart center. Your heart center is your intuitive center, which becomes more known to you as your soul center. It is where you are free of sense misperception. And I find a very beautiful way to get into your heart center for your meditation is to use that three-way awareness that we started out with, that little three-way bulb at the beginning. God is here. The minute you're aware that God is here, you've turned the bulb on and it begins to quiet down all these vagrant inner impulses that seem to have no coherence, darting all around, coming from where heaven knows, and going nobody knows either. All these vagrant impulses of lifetimes that are just like little loose electric wires within us. God is here. It's as if Christ came across the water and said, "Fear not, it is I." God is here. But only God. So all this other stuff is excess baggage. Now, what did you think you needed and wanted desperately today? Forget it. God is here. You see, when you accept God is here, your thoughts and your feelings and your desires are revealed as nothing. Can you accept that? Does it shock you too much to say that your own feelings and desires are nothing? You've got to. You must unself. You cannot come to the Father with a human thought, a human desire, a human feeling. And all our would-be intent to meditate, to find God, is useless when we're coming to the Spirit of God with something. We come to the Spirit of God in a total state of meekness, meaning no personal self, no personal will, no personal thought. I come to the Father. I have sold all that I have. Every thought that I have sold. I come to the Father with my heart center. It doesn't think. It is sensitive only to the Father. It receives. It listens. It is meek unto the Father. And because the Father is here, and only the Father is here, there's nothing here where I am. And when there's nothing here where I am, because only the Father is here, I have found my heart center. There you rest. And let the Father within do the works. The longer you are in truth, the more you know that the Father's thoughts and ways are higher than yours. They move according to a divine plan of which male and female mortals know nothing. The human race knows nothing about the divine plan. You only learn it bit by bit through your soul. And so the human race has no ability to fulfill the plan it knows nothing about. Oh, it may seem that because I'm a great surgeon and I save human lives that I'm fulfilling the divine plan. But what about when those human lives are buried a little later? All I did was delay the divine plan. Or I'm a great educator. Or a great inventor. These are wonderful things. But there's another dimension that must be added to them. How do I fulfill the divine plan? Not my human idea of what should be done. That distinction is so important because when a great scientist or a great inventor or a great anything moves out of the way and lets the divine plan come through, then you find a remarkable capacity to fulfill the divine plan at its highest level. What about the thief? Never invented anything. Never made a railroad. Never made an airplane. Never put together any two ideas into a third one except to steal. Why did he make paradise? Because he found his heart center. Accidentally, it would seem. But you'd have to look back a long way to see what led up to that heart center, opening up to perceive the Christ, which in turn fed his soul right there, so that his soul vaulted into marriage with the Spirit and the birth of Christ within, which is paradise attained. You don't have to be up there as a Nobel Prize winner. And you don't have to be able to memorize the Bible from cover to cover, backwards and forwards. You have to build your heart center, because that's where the real Bible flows. The living Bible of God flows through your heart center. That's where the Bible that is in our book comes alive. Now let's find that heart center very carefully so you know where to go always to be with God. And I'm thinking of those of us who are still immersed in the old ways. Maybe get up a nice long list of things that you bring to God, or even slyly pretend that you're not coming to God for anything, while in that little corridor of your mind there's this silent hope that God does this. Those are the things we learn to get rid of. They don't fool anybody. They just keep you immired in the nothingness of mortality. When we know God aright, we know that God is all-knowing. We know that God is all-functioning. We know that God is constantly manifesting the perfection of God. We know that God is our life. Who's going to tell the life of God anything? And who is there to tell the life of God anything? When we in our human nothingness try to tell God, we're playing a charade. There's no one to tell and no one to hear. When you come as the humble, the lowly, the zero, who says, this isn't me, but I am the living Son of God, and I'm not putting the tail where the head is. I'm letting the source feed what I am. And that's why it is said in the Bible that the Father is greater than the Son, so that you will learn to receive, not to demand. There's plenty of time to find another level of yourself, but you've got to start always with a humble approach that God knoweth my needs, God has provided my needs, and finally, there's no me for God to provide for. And even though that's hard to take, when there is no me for God to provide for, but there's only the living Spirit of God, the life of God, the Son of God, and you can answer to that name, you'll find all that you wanted to be provided for. We're in our heart center. Because I'm not mortal, I can make no mortal request. Because I'm not mortal, I can seek nothing mortal. I seek nothing in this world. That's another great error. I need a better house, a better job, domestic harmony. Let's get rid of that kindergarten, please. The Father within knoweth your needs. Before you ask, and especially if you don't ask, I shall answer. It's all done. Your function is to find what you have. Not to secure something new, but to find what you already have. And that's what that heart center is for. And now we're eating the Spirit of God. That's what we're eating. That's what we're in breathing. That's what our soul is becoming aware of. It's eating of the tree of life. And it's manufacturing that food into soul substance. This is the bread of a different life. It's eating eternal life. It's eating that substance which contains every need fulfilled. It's eating from the three planes above this one. It's eating from the soul plane, the spirit plane, the Christ or eternal life plane. And that food is going to appear as your very life. You see how we thrust that away from us when with our little minds we try to enter into it as if we were in a restaurant reading a menu and saying, I'll take this and that and the other thing. Eat of my flesh. Drink of my divine wisdom, my blood. Not your human flesh, not your human blood. Don't try to get this out of a carrot or a zucchini. We're in another place where soul makes the word flesh. We appear in the world, but we are in the kingdom. We are being spoon-fed the kingdom by our own soul. Slowly, deliberately, carefully, lovingly, gently. And every time you return to your heart center, having divested yourself of all the trappings of mortality in the human brain and in the human emotional system, selling all thou hast, and into the sanctuary of the heart, quietly, knowing infinite spirit is here, infinite God is here, infinite Christ is here. All that the Father is right here. The omniscience of the Father is here. The omnipotence of the Father is here. And if I walk across the street or I go to another country, it's always here because the Father is within me. All of the Father is within you. Not 1% or 10. Not 99%. You have a 100% Father who has a 100% Son. And this begins the spiritual chemistry which brings the realization of oneness. This is divine feeding. There's nothing like it. It's here 24 hours of every day. You can feed as often as you like. And if you feed often enough, you'll find you're so busy living out the feeding and so enraptured, wondering how all this came to pass, that you won't find your feet on the ground. Invisible wheels move. A type of automation so cosmic that there's nothing on this earth can duplicate it. Now everyone then, and this was mostly for the benefit of those who have had trouble meditating, everyone then has this opportunity to be fed divinely. And if you don't make the usual errors of trying to tell the father what you want to be fed, you will discover that the father knows. The father is merely feeding the father's life in you. Things that are unknown to the mind of man. There is no chemist on the earth who can mix a potion that could even live in the shadow of what the Father feeds you. There is no scientist on earth, no medical scientist who can repair a divine body. There is no psychologist or psychiatrist who can improve a divine mind or correct it. These people serve because we are still in the mortal stage of awareness which requires mortal service. God is here. God will never go away. In the middle of a death scene by Hamlet, God is still here. If someone will only awaken to the presence of God, the stage where the actors will disappear and reality will take its place. In the middle of a war, God is here, and only God is here. You're just being treated to a scene by those evolving humans. Who do not know God is the very substance of their reality. I suppose we do feel from time to time that we take a lot on faith. Somebody tells us the human body isn't there, and we say, well, I guess I'll have to go with that, but I wish I knew how it's done. How is this magic trick of mirrors accomplished? Then I would realize it more than somebody telling me or reading it in a book, because this little body that isn't here aches from time to time. And I can get rid of the body in my mind, but not the ache. Suppose you could see that your soul, in passing through the world mind, casts a shadow right through the world mind. And the shadow it casts is what you're calling your body. Suppose you could come to a feeling of that, a realization of it, that here's this world mind which was formed by the very fact that my soul does not know it's one with God, that it is eternal. And so it's a false world mind, but it's there until my soul passes to a higher level. And when my soul does pass to a higher level, when it passes out of this fourth realm, this mind realm, into the pure soul realm, this body will disappear. It only appears as the soul passes through the mind realm. That's why it's called a you man. A you is a shadow. A you of a man. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's a you of a woman. A you of a man. It's a shadow. A very complex shadow. One that we live with from birth to death. But before the shadows appear, before the given birth certificates, all that is there and all that remains there after the birth certificate is the invisible, spiritual body of God. Appearing through the glass darkly of this world as human flesh. And in this mirage, we live the complicated, frustrating, joyous, triumphant, failing, happy, unhappy, healthy, unhealthy, life called mortal, within the shadow. Within the shadow of your soul passing through the world mind. Now that soul's going to move out of this world mind. You're going to still be there because you're that soul. But the body won't have any need to be here anymore. Or that soul won't make it out of this world mind. And then there's this reincarnation and another little birth certificate. Another chance to find reality. Because the word of the Father must finally be realized in you. Even all the nuclear missiles in the world cannot mock the Father. Oh, they can take out the form. But do you see the drama unfolding? When you make the word flesh and are in the spiritual form, while the physical form appears, there's a totally different sense of life. It's just like giving away a little bar of candy when you give away the physical form, when you're already in the spiritual form. That's what our work's all about. That's why this soul substance is so vital. That is the substance of your spiritual form. Your soul is inbreathing spirit substance. And out of this marriage, this homogeny, this merger of soul and spirit, suddenly, oh, there I am. I'm the spiritual body of Christ. And then you don't want this excess baggage because it keeps you out of the higher dimensions. You're ready to give it away. It's a matter of where you are, which determines your perspective. On this side, it's so valuable. As you come into spiritual form, it's obsolete like a $3 bill.